Welcome back to Community Connections, and being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have Cindy McLeish with us. Cindy's the local MP, and she comes in and tells us what's been going on all around, and she's been in every month. So it's good to... and Cindy's actually here with us today, so it's good to see you, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan. It's good to be here.
Very good. Now, well, I was up around your way a couple of weeks ago, and there's water everywhere. So is the road, when I wanted to get up to Yarra Glen, and the road was shut, and I had to go through Healesville. Is that reopened now, or is that still shut?
It's shut. It was shut on two occasions, and it's reopened now. And let me tell you, the entire town of Yarra Glen rings me, emails me, Facebooks me, or comes into the office.
Because you're there.
But, you know, it was closed for a really long time. And, you know, like with, you know, you just have to look around. There's water everywhere. We all know that. And it's just not getting away. And in previous years, in previous floods, you know, it has got away a bit quicker, but it's still sitting there for a whole bunch of reasons.
And the water, the ground is waterlogged too, isn't it?
Totally saturated.
Yeah.
And the dams are full, the reservoirs are full, and so they have to keep releasing stuff out of the reservoirs, so every time, you know, and then there's nowhere for it to go because everything's just
it's waterlogged.
Yeah, waterlogged.
Cindy, Bonnie Doon, they tell me, I was trying to get up there, but I couldn't get up there the other day. They tell me that's the fullest it's been for many years.
It's surprisingly how quickly it actually fills up and empties out at Bonnie Doon. Bonnie Doon's a little bit shallow compared to other parts of the lake, which are really quite deep. But, yes, gosh, it was 99.6% full Lake Eildon, possibly at its peak. I can't remember if it went over because they can go over capacity. So they've got a little bit of a buffer at the top. You know, like you sometimes in a measuring cup, you know, you can put 300 mil in and there's a little bit of room at
the top.
And so they can go to about 105, I think it is, but only for a few days because then the weight of the water can impact on the wall.
Yep.
And so, you know, like they've just done an enormous amount of work at the Upper Yarra, re-strengthening the wall, you know, like a huge amount of work. And it was really good work and it needed to be done to strengthen it for the future. And, you know, that once it's there, you've got to look after it, so you can't have too much water.
Yep.
So they've had to let it out. And again, water's saturated, rivers are full, it's been bucketing down.
Yep.
And so there's nowhere for the water to go. So, you know, Bonnie Doon, you know, it's not so far below the bridge.
is that the like, you've been in the area, I don't mean this disrespectfully, you've been in the area for quite some time. Is that one of the almost the fullest you've seen it for some time? Or?
Look, I'm just trying to think when the last time it was really full, because I know in 2011 we had, you know, huge floods, and the lake filled right up again.
Yep.
And, you know, then it was, gosh, it was only a few years ago that at home our dams were so low that we were going to get them cleaned out. You know, you can get somebody to come in and clean out all the silt and all that and deepen your dams a bit.
Yep.
And, you know, we were in a queue. Every farmer and his dog was getting the dams dug out. And then it started raining.
Hasn't stopped. I just try and think when it was, because I used to go up to Mansfield for work quite a bit.
3 years ago.
and it was, there was only little puddles. Like the rest of it was just empty.
Yeah. So it doesn't take long
because
certainly with Eildon, you know, you get all of the runoff, the inflows, and you can ring a particular number and it tells you every day what's coming in and then what they're letting out. So depending on, you know, what's going on, they mightn't let out any.
Yep.
But they might end up let out a lot. And say, for example, if the irrigation season is further up and they've ordered water, they have to deliver that water, and it takes a few weeks to get from Eildon to probably a month to get to Mildura.
Yep.
And so if the almond growers have ordered the water, you know, they've got to release it so it gets up there.
So can they take this? I'm intrigued about this.
No, I know lots about this.
Water that's in Bonnie Doon can be somehow transferred as far as Mildura.
Easy.
How do they
easy. Because it's the lake. So, you know, you've got all parts of the lake. You know, you've got Eildon, you've got Goffs Bay and Bonnie Doon and, you know, everything in between. And so the water is just stored in that great big holding in that reservoir. And then at Eildon, there are the gates that hold it back.
Right.
And so then they release it And we saw some spectacular photos of Dartmouth, you know, when it had overflowed and all the water coming out.
Yeah.
But they also release it. So if you release it at Eildon, in a couple of hours it's at Thornton, and a few more hours it's around Molesworth, and maybe about 8 hours or so it's at Yay, and 12 hours or so at Seymour, and Shepparton's usually 2 or 3 days.
So there's a maze or just one big pipe from here to Mildura?
It's just the river. It's just the Goulburn River.
Oh, it just puts it back in the river.
It just puts it, it releases it into the Goulburn.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it just flows down the river. So all of that water just flows down the river. And when it flows really quickly, which it's doing, and as the Yarra, mind you, the Yarra's pretty chockers at the minute, it erodes a lot of the banks as well. And this is where you start to get a lot of movement in what the river actually looks like. And you know, because the river, you look from above, and you can see all little billabongs where the river used to run.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened over, you know, thousands of years. The water course changes a little bit, but fast flowing, things happen a little bit quicker. And so when they release water out of Eildon and it's raining a lot and things are getting flooded, you don't get much warning if you're close by. But if you're at Seymour... it's coming. And so at Mildura, they've known it's coming for ages because it's flooded everywhere else. By the time it gets to Mildura, though, all the other water, so the Goulburn has gone into the Murray, and all of the other water and all the other tributaries have all gone in. So the Murray's bigger and bigger and bigger.
Bigger. So it can actually create its own flood in it as it's going up there, couldn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
Flood, like, and because we had enormous inflows at Lake Eildon.
Yeah.
And it was raining everywhere, so it was, you know, the rain was, the rivers were full, the ground was saturated, and they had to let it out of Eildon. There was nowhere for it to go. So it just goes over the banks and floods everywhere. Oh. And people that live close would like a little bit of warning as to when that's going to happen.
I bet.
Because they didn't get it last time.
Oh, didn't they?
No, it wasn't, because people woke up in the middle of the night and found out that they were underwater and they had to, you know, they had cattle almost drowning and things like that.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good, because people can make the decision if they've got enough warning, don't they?
Yep.
Cindy, you might know this, and I'll ask it anyway. They tell me that there's probably billions of dollars worth of stock, oh, not so much stock, but on the farms that have been lost. Is that true?
Very much.
Is it?
Very much.
It's in the billions.
Oh, easily, easily. And I'll just take... you know, our property, for example. So it's hay season. Normally, you know, Yay Showtime, which is on the weekend, is when you'd be, you know, most people in the area are cutting hay.
Yep.
Well, there's no hay at the minute. It's all still green and waterlogged. So you can't get a vehicle in to the cutting. So it'll, you know, they'd get bogged. So you can't cut hay. So it might happen a bit later. But if the water, if it doesn't dry out, you know, you've missed a whole hay season. Fruit trees and things like that that become waterlogged. So even over at Allowan Gardens, just over here at Yarra Glen, I was bumped into Prue in the supermarket a couple of days ago, and she said some of her favourite plants have drowned. You know, so too much water. It can wipe out seedlings and that have been planted, so people that have started cropping, it can just, they haven't got their feet really entrenched, their roots entrenched, it can just wipe them out and they can all just be lost. So people that are planting particular crops for particular reasons can lose it very easily.
So some of these farmers will lose the income for the whole year, will they?
They will, and then all of a sudden, if you've got river flats, you haven't got anywhere to put the cattle. You have to put them, move them to high ground. And so you've got loads of land that's not usable. And you just look around here, you know, between Healesville, Wurrialik, Yarra Glen, there's tons of water sitting there that people can't graze, people can't grow anything on. You know, so you lose that.
So it's really going to cause an economic problem down the track too. So
If you don't have hay, for example, and then, you know, you get a fire go through, or... you know, you've had your cattle moved and you've had to eat all your grass.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, there are areas that weren't flooded. That Mansfield was okay, they could cut hay.
Yep.
Some other areas, you know, further down the Western District. You know, so we won't have to be buying it from Queensland.
No, but for the farmer himself, like you could almost be wiped out, couldn't you?
Yeah. There are some people that, and look, people lost stock, you know, stock drowned as well. It wasn't just plants have drowned. Yeah. So, you know, it's been really quite distressing. And then there are people who live in the caravan parks permanently as well.
Yeah,
who,
some of those.
Well, at Yay and Molesworth, you know, there's permanent residents, certainly at Yay, and, you know, they're all displaced. They can't go back and...
Terrible. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Cindy, we've been talking about the farms and that, but you're mentioning that a lot of the sporting grounds have been had problems too.
Look, absolutely. And the one that comes to mind, top of mind, I guess, is at Yarra Glen, the football club, the cricket club down there. It's on the river, so it goes under, you know, like it gets wet. Yep. And I know in the cricket area that they lift it, they have everything stored off the ground so that they can do that. But, you know, the grounds become unplayable. But the club rooms, you know, had water just all through it. And it didn't go away easily. And then it started to be quite mouldy as well. So, you know, they had to get a hygienist assessment from the council. I'm not sure what happened with the outcome of that. But then in the meantime, it flooded again. Yeah. So, you know, it's really a worrying for them. The cricketers are trying to work out, well, how do we manage to train?
Can we start the season?
Can we start the season? And they've been using Coldstream, but then the road was closed. They couldn't get down there. And I think they were using Billinook as well. They were trying to, you know, come up with ideas because they've got to play elsewhere. And, you know, it depends where people are coming from and whether the roads are open. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the outcome is for the Yarra Glen.
Yeah.
The club room's there.
But apart from everything else, as far as the community concerned, we don't, like, if we get too much more rain, we could be back in the same sort of boat again fairly quickly too, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely, because the reservoirs are still full. They're still letting it out. You know, you've got the O'Shaughnessy and we've got Maroondah here, Sugarloaf, and then, as I said, Eildon, which has been pretty full as well. So, yeah, if it keeps raining and, you know, gosh, we are hoping for some sun more than 10 minutes a day, three times a day.
Sydney, pardon me. Cindy, when I was up in the A a couple of weeks ago, there seemed to be a lot of sandbags around. Was there flooding at some of those shops, or was that just a precaution in case of
death? They were worried.
Death?
They were very worried, so they did early sandbagging. They had it ready just in case, because the initial predictions were 3 days after the big flood that there'd be another peak.
Yep.
Didn't happen. They didn't get that right. we kept expecting more. Oh, it's going to be Thursday till Saturday. No, it's going to be Saturday till Monday. No, it's going to be next week. And then it didn't really.
But that's very stressful on the people too, isn't it?
It is. And there was an enormous effort sandbagging. And, for example, at Thornton, there was a little channel as well. So you've got the Goulburn and there's a channel where it also diverts. And it blocks the road, and they were had all sandbags already to go if there was water over the road, to try and keep it and to not flood the township, because they were worried that the township could go under. But, you know, this happens all the way along, and I understand that there's still, you know, 200, 250 dwellings, Shepparton and Maroondah, that are uninhabitable.
Are they?
Yeah, so, you know, it moves on, because as that big course of water goes from, you know, Yay and Molesworth and Seymour, and then the next one, you know, then it was all Swan Hill for a while, and now it's all Mildura.
Yeah.
They kind of forgot that, you know, that the water is still...
still back at these
still back, and these places have been flooded, and, you know, so with the footy club, you know, they don't know what's going on yet. They've got to get the insurers, assessors, but you can't get it assessed while it's a health risk, and, you know, it's all... So they're kind of in limbo, and it's pretty hard for them to try and work out what exactly to do. Other grounds will be still unplayable all along the rivers.
With the local cricket, have they started yet, or have they not been able to start?
It's been quite interesting, because cricket competitions all over the state have been in a bit of state of limbo.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were unable to start straight after the footy, you know, like, so October, what are we now? You know, gosh, third week in November, they could be 6 or 7 weeks in. And so they have to look where possible for alternative venues, and they've been, I'm actually not sure whether they have started now.
Because, you know, the problem is the alternative venues are probably flooded too, aren't they?
It depends where they are.
Yeah.
It depends where they are. You know, if you're on the north side of the Warburton, the south side of the Warburton Highway, the higher side, you know, things are okay. It kind of flows down to the river, but if you're on the river bit, you know, someone just up the road here said to me the other day, oh, no, it didn't come under the house this time. It was quite good.
Sure. People live there. And I guess the other thing too, that do they use any of the water out of Eildon and Bonnie Doon for irrigation?
Because its primary purpose.
Well, the people won't want it this year, will they?
No, they won't. They won't be the orders.
Yeah, because, I mean, the ground is so boggy, people just won't need it.
No, and, you know, then you still run the risk of what's going to happen with increased, you know, rains.
Yeah.
All the way, you know, and, yeah, it's pretty tough at the minute. Yeah. I just look at so much water lying around, and the roads that weren't any good anyway and are now, you know, really bad. And there's a spot between Healesville and Yarra Glen at Tarawarra that is just permanently, that used to be, you know, come out easily at more than half of the road, this big water over the road. And the culvert has collapsed and deteriorated. So now every time it rains,
it just gets worse.
It's water over the road. There's may as well leave a permanent sign there, you know, water over the road, and goes up and down. So we have to just drive to different conditions.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. But the other point is too that we need to have some thought for the people that live in some of these areas, because, like, they go to bed tonight, and if they hear it starting to rain, I mean, some of these people would be sitting on their nerves night after night, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. And I know, one of my mates who lives at Yay, he's got the river behind him. And, you know, they sat up all night just watching, basically, to make sure that the, you know, if they were ready, if they had to, you know, they were far enough from the water. They were, others weren't. Yep. You know, and I went and door knocked a whole bunch of houses in Yay to have a look and see what sort of, you know, damage it had done there.
Yeah.
And different houses, slightly different, people slightly closer, further away, lower land, higher land, houses built higher, all of these different factors is how people are, you know, impacted. And then it was all the rain. You know, we've seen trees come down. We're seeing landslips everywhere.
And they say that apart from the wall there's your winds are there, it's bad enough, but they say with some of those big trees, they collapse two or three days later for some reason. The ground is just so soggy, they just fall over.
And that seems to be what I hear too, Alan, you know, that it's not... Some do come down in storms.
Yep.
Let's be clear about that.
Yep.
But, you know, sometimes others will fall down and they'll say, gee, there hasn't been, you know, any wind today, but maybe the roots get undermined. It's, you know, because we also had the drought, and that could have weakened a lot of roots as well. And,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and then it rains so much and then it's soft.
Cindy, I've got to take a break, but I've got to ask you, the potholes are back, aren't they?
We can talk about the potholes after the break.
We'll take the break. And welcome back to Community Connections, and we've got Cindy McLeish with us. Cindy, you just in passing mentioned, and I know that the Lilydale show's been on, the Dandenong show. Dandenong was very lucky. They had a brilliant weekend. Yeah, Lilydale wasn't so keen, but I believe you said that Yay's on this weekend, is it?
Yes, that's right. Yay have gone for the last few years, have gone every second year because it just became an enormous effort for the show committee, an enormous effort. And this year they can't have the horses, they can't have the cattle. And I'm not sure actually what's happening with the sideshows because Alexandra, theirs did go ahead.
Yep.
And they couldn't have horses. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people go to the country shows and do the horse events.
You know, it's a big... And they move from one to... They go from one to the next one. Yep,
they do. So Mansfield cancelled their show. And so the sideshow guys had said to Alex, well, we're not coming up just for one show. So the sideshows didn't turn up. So, you know, you just had the displays and things like that. So, you know, it was a pretty good day. But it wasn't the same show. Whittlesea is normally, I think, the first weekend in November.
Yes.
It's now put its show to middle of January.
Yep.
And who knows whether that'll be hot and dusty or still raining.
Well, the Dandenong show, I was just saying to you, we've 1 year we had, on a couple of occasions we've had, well, in the 30s, and we've had 39 degrees 1 year, and the next year we had 13 and hail, 1 year apart.
Yep.
Same weekend. We're always the second weekend in November.
Yeah. And there's a whole sequence of shows after the Melbourne show. You know, I think then the Seymour and the Whittlesea. Like, they all just go every week and you all know exactly when your one's going to be.
Yep.
But it's been exceptionally difficult. And you know, again, these are volunteers. And it's not easy to get people to put on a show.
And
communities
really
struggle for people to help out.
Having been part of it for a long, long while... You put in 11 months' work, and if things go well, you'll have a record show. And this is why I feel so sorry for the volunteers. Or if the weather goes against you, you'll have a lousy show and lose money and can go broke. The number of shows have gone broke because the season was just that lousy.
Yeah, because you have to make payments on certain things, you know, to secure. And then, you know, you look at, you think, oh gosh, well, they've still got to pay for this or they've had to deposit for that they don't get back.
Yep.
But equally, then you look at the sideshow guys, they miss out on all the income as well. So that's how they make their income for the show season.
Yep.
The event sector got, hammered with COVID, not being able to operate. And now the rain is stopping, you know.
And most of these shows didn't go in 20 and 21.
No, that's exactly right.
They were nearly all cancelled.
Yes.
You know, I know Lilydale was, Dandenong was, a lot of them. Cindy, let's get back to your favourite topic, these potholes. Now, I've told you again since I've fixed, I've done nearly $1,000 worth of damage to my car, just hitting potholes on the Warburton Highway. So they just seem to be filling up the holes and you get a wet day and it just takes it all out.
And you're not alone because I've, you know, had plenty of people talk about the same thing. That's right. You know, you need a decent fix.
Yep.
And, in fact, on the Melba Highway, they are doing a decent fix. And they dug out about, you know, a foot and a half, 2 feet.
That's what you need to do, isn't
it? Well, but I noticed this morning for about a 10, 15, maybe 20-metre stretch, it's now dug down to 1.5 metres easily.
True.
Because they found a couple of springs, which is why the road, you know, keeps failing in that spot all the time. Hallelujah. There's a reason. And there's a few spots, you know, the trouble spots, and everyone knows this is always a problem.
Yep.
And it requires real fixes. But it's at the minute. And I think, you know, they were in a bit of a bind because the potholes were so bad, but the weather's so bad, and ordinarily you wouldn't be trying to do road works.
No, you just... fill them and keep moving.
Yeah, they fill them and keep moving so people don't do damage to their vehicles. I think that's pretty well... what it seemed to be, but they were bad before the rain, and they're certainly not good now. And we've lost big strips of bitumen.
Cindy, one thing that we should talk about, and I'd like you to reinforce it, is driving through floodwaters, because you just explained, and I'll get you to tell that story now about the person that about the bridge, because that it is just so dangerous going through floodwaters.
That's right. You don't actually know what's below the floodwater. You think, I've driven over this road plenty of times and there's a few inches of water and it'll be okay, but you don't know if there's that, you know, huge pothole there that you're going to hit, get stuck in, do a tyre. You don't know that. But not so far from my place, near my cousin's, there was a bridge. And, you know, it had gone under, and it often goes under. That's not unusual. But, you know, you could be fooled quite easily into thinking there's only a few inches, I can see the bottom.
Yep.
But there was about a metre and a half of bridge that had actually come away at the other end.
True.
So, you know, while it's underwater, you can see it 2 inches everywhere, but you might not see. And you would have ended up, the vehicle wouldn't have gone all the way in the water. You would have got jammed. But you just don't know what's under it. Yeah. So it's easy, you know, to think, oh, yes, look, I know this road, but you don't know what's changed underneath it at that point.
True. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
They say our music's heavenly revival. They say that country's in the climb. But I say, what the hell are they talking about? The country has been here all the time. There's a lot more people now admitting they like country music after all. Now there's dollar signs alongside country music. It's cowboy boots and hats for one and all. They say that country's middle of the road now. They say they've had enough of all this noise. I suppose the music wheel has turned full circle. Our ballads and our stories now enjoyed. Or they say our music's having a revival. They say that country's on the climb. I say, what the hell are they talking about? The country has been here all the time. Play Charlie. When rock and roll came out and just took over, a lot of music just went underground. Then somehow rock got tangled up with country. This country music added to the sound. Oh, they're singing songs I've only just discovered. Just hear them talk about their brand new sound. But there's nothing new about the songs they're singing. It's just that country music's come to town. Hey, oh, they say our music's having a revival. They say that country's on the climb. But I say, what the hell are they talking about? The country has been here all the time. Sure it has. Country has been here all the time.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where it's 16 minutes to 2. Oh, we've dropped back. We hit the 17 for about 20 minutes and now we're back to 16. I hope we're not the way down. Cindy, you were talking...
Can I say we have had snow Lake Mountain and Mount Buller this week. Let's.
Did you... Which morning was it? Monday. I was mowing the lawn and I live in suburbia, as you know, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, we had hail.
Oh, we had a lot of hail in Yarra Glen.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the cars were just covered in white.
We didn't get that much, but I couldn't believe it. One minute I was mowing the lawn, next minute I had the mower in the garage, and I was out. Cindy, you just want to talk about the volunteers, because I think volunteers are the backbone of the whole of community, to be honest.
Yes, look, I will. And during the times that we've had recently, you know, like it's when there's these natural disasters that everyone expects the volunteers to turn up, but it's hard to keep them enthusiastic and incentivised and, you know, to keep turning up and respected. They really need to be respected because there's not enough of them.
Yep.
And, you know, for so many brigades and the SES units, you know, we've got one here at Healesville, Marysville,
yep.
For them to turn out all the time, you know, it's tough to get volunteers because you have to stay trained up. You have to know how to use the equipment. You have to... where was it the other day? I was at Murrindindi, which is a little locality where I grew up, not just the Shire.
Yeah.
And the Yay Road Rescue were there cutting someone out of a car to show you. There wasn't a person in it, but they were demonstrating how to do it and what to do. And, you know, the gear that they were using, it was heavy, and they train every week that they, or 2 weeks that they had to do, you know, something that was reasonably substantial to keep up their skills. And, and they said, like, every type of car is different. And, you know, the roof comes off differently, or the doors, or the airbags are in different places, and you have to be mindful. And so, this is great advice. You know, if you're on a scene of an accident and you report it, and you can say it's a Holden Astra, or it's a Ford Territory, or whatever, that gives the emergency services on the way, they can actually go to, you know, their resources and bring that vehicle up and it shows you where all the airbags are.
I didn't know that either.
I saw somebody showed us on the weekend. They were cutting up a Holden Astra.
Yeah.
And someone said, look, this is the closest we've got. So you get there and you know they've done their preparation in the car. You've got somebody driving in the truck and then the others are doing that. You know, it's
incredible.
Simple. But, you know, look, rather than just say, look, there's, you know, a car run off the road and it's blue, or give the address, if you can give the type of vehicle...
So they can already plan.
It makes a huge difference in their pre-planning.
You wouldn't think that, would you?
Gives them a few minutes, you know, heads up. And that can be all the difference, you know, whether somebody's trapped. And they demonstrated this, you know, cars upright on four wheels. And, you know, I said to the lady next to me, oh, you know, it could be on its side in the ditch, it could be on its roof. You know, all of these things are...
And what we've got to mention too is that some of these volunteers are dragged out at 2-3 in the morning and then they're... front up for work again the next day.
That's right. And it doesn't matter if it's a house fire locally.
Yep.
You know, a bushfire, scrub fire, any type of fire or road accident. You know, these guys, trees down, get turned. And then if it's big, you know, you have to have the catering vehicles come along. So they've got, you know, if people are out for 12, 24 hours, you know, you've got to turn them over. You know, they've got to give them a bit of sustenance and stuff like that. So,
and then expect them to go back to work.
Different brigades, you know, have different expertise and skills. And it reminds me one night the Alexandra SES got called out to Cathedral Rangers to a school.
Oh.
And a kid had, I don't know, had an accident, broken a leg or something, and they had to hike in an hour to get it. And the teacher, this really stunned me, it was said to them, you're all okay, you're on overtime. And the guy said, oh, I think we're all volunteers. And she was shocked to find out that the SES were volunteers, and I just don't think enough is done
to recognise
that. You know, a lot of us locally know that, but not everyone does. And in the city, you're not likely to know somebody who's at the SES or who's at the different brigade. You know, here we've got brigades all over the valley. You know, Hillcrest is just up here, and then we've got Junction, and we've got at Millgrove and Warburton and Reefton and Healesville, Yardley. You know, we've got brigades everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's not unusual for anyone to know people at work there. Or to, you know, that volunteer. But in the city, they, you know, they don't have that same
level connection.
Of understanding. You know, they've got the professional, the paid guys down there, but they don't understand that in the country it's different.
And they can pay. Oh, I've got to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more.
It was a night. Ooh, what a night it was. It really was.
Such a night.
The moon was bright. How bright it was, it really was.
Such a night.
The night was alive with stars above. Ooh, when she kissed me, I had to fall in love.
Oh, it was a kiss.
Ooh, what a kiss it was, it really was.
Such a kiss.
Oh, how she could kiss. Oh, what a kiss it was, it really was.
Such a kiss.
Just the thought of her lips sets me afire. I reminisce and I'm filled with desire. But I gave my heart to her, sweet Soren. I will, I remember. I'll always remember.
Oh, what a night.
Ooh, what a night it was. It really was
such a night.
Came the dawn and my heart in her love, and the night was gone. But I'll never forget the kiss in the moonlight. Ooh, such a kiss, such a night.
It was a night.
Ooh, what a night it was. It really was
such a night.
Came the dawn and my heart in her love, and the night was gone. But I'll never forget the kiss in the moonlight. How will I remember? I'll always remember
that night.
Ooh, what a night it was. It really was
such a night.
When we kissed, I had to fall in love. But I gave my heart to her, sweet Soren. How will I remember? I'll always remember.
Oh, that night.
Ooh, what a night it was. It really was
such a night.
When we kissed, I had to fall in love.
she's gone, gone, gone. Yes, she's gone, gone, gone. Came the dawn, 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 and my love was gone. But before.
And that was the great Elvis Presley in Such a Night. Just a quick reminder, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and Paul. Music Memories and we'll be playing music like that right through the afternoon between 12 and 3. And then, of course, I'll be back between 6 and 8 doing the fill-in for Matt Shaw with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. So a lot of rock and roll coming up here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 over on Sunday. But anyway, we're here to talk to Cindy McLeish.
And I just enjoy your music.
Thanks very much. Cindy, the school, the Year 12s are, I think they've finished their exams now, but it's time for them to start to think about their future.
Well, you know, it's been an interesting lot for this lot of Year 12s because they'd essentially had Year 10 and 11 at home.
Yep.
And, you know, the 2 years for them to come back and, you know, work as a group.
And they've missed out on camps where they go and bond and all that. For those 2 years.
Yeah, they did. They missed out on so much.
Yep.
But, you know, I usually get to a couple of the Year 12 graduations. I've only got to the Mansfield one this year. I know Upper Yarra was down at Karralika.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe last week. You know, who knows, I lose the days. but, you know, it's interesting because everybody, you know, will have a different path through life. And sometimes I think, you know, kids are really pressured into this is the most important year of your life.
Yep.
And 80% of them will probably change directions after 2 years out of school where they go and think, I'm going to be a plumber.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, I don't like this. I want to do something else, or I want to go to uni, or I went to uni and I actually want to be a plumber.
Well, they're saying that a lot of them will change, not jobs, but change vocations up to four times, aren't they, the ones that are coming out of school now?
Yeah, and I probably have done that anyway. But, you know, it's not the days of the gold watch and stay 50 years in the one job, you know, like in the one organisation. That's so changed. But, you know, it is okay. The kids aren't always going to know exactly what they want to do when they're 17, 18.
Well, you take an 18-year-old boy, he hardly knows what he's going to do this afternoon. And I can say that because I was there once a long while ago. But, you know, I mean, a guy at that age has got no idea what he's going to do.
And, you know, and that's okay.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the messages. And I always say parents don't always love what I'm going to say. But, you know, teachers sometimes, you know, because, yes, it's an important year and you want to do well because it can set you up.
Yep.
But it's not the only means, you know. Kids do go to university and they decide they don't like it or they're in the wrong course and they change courses. They do something quite different. Kids that don't go to university may decide that, or kids that start doing particular work might want to trade. Like, it just, you know, it goes around and they'll end up in a job because somebody said, hey, listen, you know, we're short at work, do you want to come? And it'll open up a whole new door. So I think my message to the Year 12 kids is certainly have a bit of a rest now while you can. But, you know, it's your life sometimes takes a few years to sort out which direction you're going to go in, and then it can change as well.
And the other thing is too that there are such things now as I forget what they call it now, but as an adult, you can go to university. So it's not a case of, you know, if you don't get in as soon as you finish Year 12, that's the rest of your life. You can join 3 or 4 years later.
And if you don't get in the course that you want, you know, there's usually another way to get into that course.
Yep.
You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know, so they say.
Yep.
And
well, the RSPCA on us.
Oh, sorry. There's more than one way to roam, isn't it? I think it's something like that. But, you know, I guess it's taking the most of the opportunities because there's a lot of work out there.
Yep.
And, you know, you can try your hand and you can work in this area in tourism and hospitality have a long career in that area. And sometimes people don't think that those sorts of things are careers. But you look at the beautiful surrounds that we've got, and if you want to work here, you know, there's a lot of outdoors parks and gardens and forestry type jobs that you can do that get you outdoors. You know, driving trucks.
Yep.
Stuff like that. There's shortages.
And there's shortage of truck drivers.
You know, and I knew a guy who wanted to be a truck driver always, as a kid. God, my brother's friend always wanted to be a truck driver since he was four and became one. Yep. And then now he manages the whole fleet of trucks for a company. He's not in the truck anymore, but he's still involved.
Still in the truck.
I just love it, you know. you know, you can do so much.
Yeah, and we had Siri in just the hour prior to you, and they've got plenty of jobs. If you do the training in hospitality, they were talking about hospitality the same as you were. They were talking about aged care, child care, and in the schools.
Yeah,
there are
absolutely
opportunities everywhere.
And one of the young guys over at the hairdressers in Yarra Glen, you know, chat to him, and he went to Siri and did his hairdressing apprenticeship.
Did he?
And yeah, he's got a whole lot of people going around over there. But, you know, the hairdresser at Yay, Britt, she was did VCAL. You know, there's so many opportunities.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what path you go down, there are opportunities. And I just encourage people to take those opportunities rather than...
And whatever job you're doing, as long as you're happy in it and to do your best that you can do for it,
yeah,
you're as good as anyone else.
So I hope the Year 12s get a bit of a break. I think they've all finished now, and, you know, with the graduations, and their results come out mid-December, I think it is. So
they'll be eagerly waiting. But, again, as you just said, that's not the be-all and end-all of it, is it?
No.
Sydney, unfortunately, I've got to go.
Okay.
But me, the weather is news is right on our door. We won't see her now this year because the fourth Wednesday, pardon me, the fourth Wednesday would be so close to Christmas. So to you and your family, have a wonderful holiday.
Gosh, I can't believe Christmas greetings already.
And we'll talk to you in the new year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cindy.